This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Thursday to you. John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig. Yesterday was OTA's day one. OTA day two going on there at NRG Stadium. No public access to that, though, so we're not getting much insight to it.
Sucks.
They're practicing all their secret stuff.
Yeah.
Because we don't want these other teams to see what they're doing.
They get the annexation. They're installing the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Yes.
And yeah, the fumble Ruski getting in there. What is there? Is there a trick play that you really want to see from this Texans team?
Oh, that's a good question.
While you think about that, I offer this as some level of, like, this is the information that I can give you from the Texans, even though I can't give you, like, what's happening out there at NRG, Figgy. And I see this person, Sam Warren of the Houston Chronicle. The Texans have released their official preseason schedule, so we know what times these games are. So Saturday, August 9th, is when they'll get game one versus the Vikings at 3 p.m. So it's a 3 p.m. Yeah.
Like, that's middle of the afternoon. That's not a home game, so that's cool.
Yeah, that's not a home game, but the home game that you will have is the second preseason game. That's the 16th against the Panthers at noon on that Saturday.
Ooh, it's going to be hot.
It's going to be hot out there, baby.
Buddy. That's what I was thinking. I was hoping it was like a later game, like a night game or something.
Nah.
Ooh, it's going to be hot, man.
And then you'll get the Lions game in the third one, and that'll be in noon.
Good luck to the tailgaters out there, man.
Yeah.
Well, you say, what you mean out there? Like, you're not going to be out there. You better be out there. I expect
to
see you.
They got to set. I'm just going around. I'm talking about the people that got to set up and cook.
And over the fire. Ain't no problem. Tailgate. Is a way of life.
Ooh, man.
Is a way
and
of life
is on the preseason game.
Yeah.
So, but
August.
That's right. That's right.
I'm saying that because I did it before. I did it a couple years ago. It was so hot.
I can't wait.
Yeah. What about the Texan special?
Okay, so you have the name. I forget that you just love names. What is the Texan special? Actually,
the
you know
Philly
what?
Special, but a Texans version.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Who's throwing the football then? All right. I love what we're doing here.
Joe Mixon.
Oh, yes. The Texan special.
I like what's happening here.
That's what they're practicing right now.
That's right. Even though Joe Mixon, not at OTAs. All right. But speaking of OTAs, we did hear from a few players yesterday, and I thought there was some interesting stuff, namely from Azeez Al-Shaair. Like, I think Azeez came into a national spotlight last year, as we all know, after that that game versus the Jaguars.
What'd he do?
I thought he made a good hit.
He was balling his ass off.
He was.
Then what happened?
He was balling other things off of other people's bodies as well, it seems like, because that's the way that it was talked about.
I think he got a little upset about something.
I think so.
I think Ray Lewis used to say that he going to knock people's necks loose, which is an incredible threat. Like, one of my favorite threats of all, I'm going to knock your neck loose. Like, that's just so vivid.
And if you had that baby neck going.
If you let the NFL.
Mom's got to hold it up from the back.
Right. If you let the national NFL media say, they talked about it like Azeez knocked Trevor Lawrence's neck loose. But I mean, he getting to hear more from him has, like, really spoken to his leadership. And that was one of the things that he talked about after OTA's day one. This is actually cut 15 here, Figgy. Azeez was asked about how much his background with D'Amico Ryans helps his signal calling and such. And I thought it was very introspective and insightful.
Yeah, I think it's big because, like I said, whenever you, like, get to stack, you know, more time with somebody, and I've known D'Amico since I've been in the NFL, so I think just more years under your belt, and then obviously now going into my second year with these guys, with this group, and the new guys that are coming along, it's exciting because you just feel like, you know, like, if you got two chances to do anything, you feel like that second time is going to be better than the first, so I think that's the expectation for myself and for everybody in the building.
So that's more of, like, what the defense, like, what the actual bolts, nuts and bolts of the defense. And I had not thought about the idea of, like, an Azeez Al-Shaair progression, even from, like, especially from a mental side of the game. Like, what does that look like to you? What do you think he's speaking to in that moment?
Well, look, he's been there. He's been there with D'Amico, and certainly, and we're going to hear what he had to say. This one, two of them really stood out to me. The next one just more about the leadership and some of the things he does. but also when he's talking about Henry Toa and you know, the sort of, I guess, you know, teaching him and, you know, helping him along the way last year. But the bigger thing for me, when you listen to Al-Shaair, you really start to feel bad for him, because he's got a reputation, like a bad reputation in the NFL. And I guess you can say somewhat deserved, you know, given, you know, the volatility that
his propensity to toe the line and maybe step a little bit over at times.
And more than on one occasion, you know. So I get it. But this dude is exactly what the Texans have wanted for, you know, at least the first two decades of the organization. A class guy off the field, has that edge, maybe a little bit too much occasionally on the field, but just a complete leader and gets the defense. And he's a bad dude that the Texans, frankly, for years, you know, they were always called a bunch of choir boys and all that.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think I kind of feel bad for him, that reputation is, while it's somewhat deserved, it's not altogether deserved and unfair.
As the czar, as the pope of bad nicknames, what do you think about controlled aggression, controlled chaos? Because it feels like that's what you are. You've been ordained. I hope you enjoy that and you know, bask in its powers and its glory. But it does feel like that's what he is. Like, he's controlled chaos, mm-hmm. in that, like, you want to be able to unleash that aggression, that chaos, mm-hmm. but when he needs to, right? He's very, very clear about all those things. Like, do you, but I do want to circle back around to the idea of, like, the notion of growth within him. Cause mm-hmm. I did not, like, you talked about all those things and it felt like we could see those last year. And it's like, yeah, this is perfectly what you want. But he here is talking about the ways in which year two is a step up over year one. And I honestly almost can't even imagine it, unless we're talking about, like, him becoming a better coverage guy, like the A32 was talking about. Will he be better at covering tight ends? And I don't know if that's something that is to be expected at this point of his career, but, like, the mental part of making sure there are no mistakes from not just him, but the entirety of the defense that he kind of helms, it feels like there wasn't that many of those from his purview either.
Yeah. First of all, what you said really hurts me inside.
Hopefully the outside too. That's what I was going for.
But to your point, he's not going to become a better. I mean, that's the gripe. He's not going to become better in coverage. It's just not going to happen. I don't think it's there. What he can do, and we heard it, and we're about to hear some more, is really get not just what D'Amico is, but what this team is. Like, he really understands what buttons to push. They understand him, and that's the growth. That's the growth. It's not just like, hey, he's a leader, do what he says. They get each other. There's a better connection there.
713, what about Cushing? Was he a choir boy? No, but I think he might have been a little bit unwieldy at times. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I hear what you're saying there. But this is what you're talking about here when it comes to Aziz, and this is one that very much circulated on Twitter, because, I mean, you hear someone talking these ways. We were talking a little bit earlier with B. Scott and Seth about the notion of Will Anderson Jr. and hearing him talk. I kind of got a different but similar feeling when I heard Aziz Al-Shaair talking about this, how he learned his way to becoming an NFL pro and a veteran.
Through it, like, when you go through one side of it, well, like I said, as a player, somebody's talking to you a certain way. Like, I grew up a certain way, and I didn't have my father in my life, so I genuinely struggled to, like, deal with male figures and taking, like, authority in that way. So I think, as I figured that out on my own and, you know, going to therapy and dealing with my own issues as a young player, especially, like, with me and D'Amico, that's how our relationship was just always, like, headbutting, until it got to that point where you realize, like, why is this person talking to me like this? Why? What are they trying to relay to me? And you kind of just able to process all those things and then come up with that solution to realize this person is trying to help me. Their message is just being relayed this certain way, not taking it so personal. And then as I figured that out for myself, you know, and I became more of a leader in my own right, I just made sure that I carried that same message that I felt to the people around me, because, like I said, everybody is different, and I have no clue sometimes. You know, you go to work, you know, a guy might have just lost, you know, his child, or maybe something happened at home, because we all go through things. So I think it just challenged me to be more considerate and more mindful of other people, because I was thinking about how I felt.
First of all, I mean, how do you not love that guy? You know, all things considered, especially if he's on your team. But secondly, that speaks to what I was talking about. I think he, the growth that he has, and he's obviously been a mature guy, you know, for years now, but the growth that he has in the context of his role and in the context of taking the coaching. They always talk about, you know, great players really, really do want coaching. He's grown into that. And I think he also understands, you know, how to read people and what buttons to push on other people, his teammates in particular.
Who do you think that that's going to stand to benefit the most from? Because it feels like we've already seen places where it's benefited. It's funny because I almost feel like I'm being negative here, and I apologize if that is the way that this comes off. But I'm like, it feels like we've already reaped so much of the benefit of this that I'm almost trying to find the way of how does this even get better? Like I have been so pleased with what he has brought to this team. And he seems to be in a place where he believes that there is more to be wrung out of this. And I'm still trying to find where are the areas that you get even better here, because I've been so impressed by not just his play, but how he has affected the entirety of this defense.
I think we've seen it. We saw it last year. What if Henry To'o is better than good? You know, that's the guy that's right next to him. And he talked about the growth that To'o had from year one to year two was exponential. I mean, it was just more than he said he had himself. And what if that's another step, you know, another step with him? I think that's where that could maybe be the biggest impact. And maybe Christian Harris. I mean, although his might be more physical.
Yeah, I was like, the Christian Harris thing, it feels like it's a physical thing that's holding him back. But maybe once you get him onto the field, do you see an even better version of Christian?
Yeah.
Because of his, you know, ability to work off of Aziz. And I mean, D'Amico is a teacher, right? I think that's one of the things that I love about him as a coach, is that he seems to be able to impart his message in a way. He seems to be, you know, very empathetic to his players. And that, I think that creates a pathway where you can get your message across and have it land and be more fruitful in planting those seeds. And it feels like Aziz is like that consummate general on the field that has all of those similar tendencies. Mm-hmm. And dare I say, might be getting himself to a place where he might do it better.
Yeah. You know, I wonder, as crazy as it was, I wonder if he's even grown from last year's,
incident, or hit,
or whatever you want to call it. Keep in mind, you know, he was such an impactful player. He missed six games. He missed three early, then he missed three with a suspension, and was just, you know, a monster in terms of tackles and leading this team. And oh, by the way, I came across this morning. In the games in which Aziz Al-Shaair played, the Texans were 8-3. 8-3 in the games in which he played. That's leadership. That's what a defensive player's standout can do.
Yeah, I think his impact cannot be overstated, I think, with what this defense is. And like the fact that this defense has fully embodied the mantra and the mentality. Mm-hmm. I know that people get tired of saying swarm, but I think when it works, when it hits this hard, it feels like that's a huge part. And I think that we're getting to a place where, like, yeah, 8-3-2. If we're being honest, Aziz is really D'Amico's work son. And I think that, yes, that is absolutely the case. I mean, he talked about it. He started talking about, like, father figures in that space. And I don't know if he would want to get specifically to that place. But it is easy to very much see Aziz kind of talking about D'Amico Ryans and seeing that authority figure, at least before I get too far in putting him as a father figure, and how, you know, how that trust is there. And it feels like that connectivity between the clear defensive mindset that D'Amico has, the genius that I think we can maybe put him as, and the ways in which that pathway into getting the actual results on the field shows up through Aziz. Obviously, Will as well. I think Petrie is another one of those guys that you'll talk about. But Aziz seems to be like the main conduit to make sure that there's a level of accountability and held up to the standard. And I think that he is one of the main reasons why you take all these parts, and I don't want to call them disparate, but all these very good parts, and then they form together like Voltron in what I think is a campaign to be a historic defense this year.
I think we're all, you know, fingers crossed with that. I think they have all the elements of doing that. And I also think, you know, we talk about what Will Anderson can do. We've talked about it here. You know, what if he has the 13, 14, 15 sacks or more, and what it could do. But I think it starts with Aziz. I mean, I think it all starts with Aziz. All of them, you know, Will Anderson's a leader, you know, just has D'Amico Ryans. But I think Aziz is sort of the conduit.
Especially, you know, because of the maturity that's displayed. And I mean, just these answers alone. I mean, hell, think about when we got these answers. Day one of OTAs. Exactly. Like, this is not one of the, like, the idea that he's able to probe the depths and give yourself, give you introspective answers to this point on questions that, again, I think that have been pretty damn good. But, like, I mean, it's not like they were out here in a Barbara Walters interview. And I realize that that's a little bit of a dated reference as well. But he took it to that place because I think he is that mindful about this game. And so I am super intrigued to see what this defense does from a dude who I think has been exactly what you needed for this defense, has been incredible for it already, and seems to believe that there's another level to get to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Somebody said, disagree on Aziz. He's such a liability in pass coverage that they think that we're building around, or actually, I guess, it got cut off, but they disagree with the pass coverage being such an issue for Aziz.
He's not great. But, you know, he's not great in pass coverage. Nobody's going to deny that. But I think the elements that he brings, and also the way that he's surrounded, and some of the players they brought in.
Yeah, I think the idea of having a perfect player there, I can understand why you get to that place, but I think what he brings, the physicality that he's able to engender on top of like the accountability and kind of being almost the CPU of the defense, I think that matters in a way that I probably value a lot more than, you know, if he was able to better cover tight ends, which obviously you would like, but I much rather have this guy in that space. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We'll circle back around to Will Anderson because I think it's still very much worth hitting on some of the things that Will Anderson Jr. is talking about when it comes to how he has a jump in this 2025 football season. But there you go. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our lunchtime confessions that are presented by the Men's Clinic. We always do them around this time, and we will do them next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, so I did realize, and I've realized this before, I should say I realized again, sometimes the less you know, the better about something. So this morning, and it happened yesterday, but this morning, I Googled pink cocaine. Now, why did I
Google it? Whoa, what you trying to do?
Because he wants to see...
Little bit.
I had to see what that dude.
I had the white cocaine before. I wonder what the pink cocaine looked like.
He says, is that like pink lemonade? Because I like pink lemonade.
Well, it's funny you say that. I wish I hadn't Googled pink cocaine.
Are you really?
Yeah, what popped
really,
up?
You know who could have told you that yesterday?
Me. Stephon Diggs.
Well, yeah, I bet he.
I watched that video way too many times, by the way. He was so smooth with it. What's my name?
Yeah.
What's my name? What's my name?
So it will never cease to amaze me the stupid things that people do when it comes to these sort of manufactured drugs and stuff. Let me read you what I Googled. I copied and pasted it. It's not even cocaine, by the way. Pink cocaine, this is quote, pink cocaine is a powdered mixture of substances which is dyed pink, may have a sweet smell, and typically produces mind-altering hallucinogenic effects. Pink cocaine is a mixture of different substances.
Mm-hmm.
Every batch is different, and a person does not know how their body will react to it each time. The only commonality of pink cocaine is its bright pink coloring. Why do people do
so it's pretty much that? So it's pretty much Molly.
It's some sort of hallucinogen.
No idea.
Like, what the hell is Molly?
Yeah.
Why people was popping Molly, had no clue what it was.
Well, Molly is more specific. That's not even Molly.
But they don't even know, like, every
not speaking from experience, by the way.
Yeah, it sounds like you
don't know
a thing or two about Molly.
All right, fine.
That ain't Molly.
Let me take a sip of this water because they're going to come in here and have me pee in a cup.
Yeah. So listen, man, like, I'm going to do a drug. What kind of drug are you going to do? I'm going to do a drug that some either bad scientist or amateur scientist mixed together with all these chemicals, and then I'm going to snort it up my nose.
You're saying that as an athlete, he should be a little bit more discerning with what he puts in his body.
As a person.
Oh, okay.
As a person.
Well, maybe he ain't doing it. Maybe he
pulled it out and gave it to
him. He did pass it to the girls and say, hey, y'all split all that. Y'all good. Y'all come back to daddy whenever y'all finish. That's pretty much what he said.
He called himself daddy. Or they called him daddy.
He said, what's my name?
Yeah.
And they all said, daddy. Video was so uncomfortable.
Pink cocaine. No idea. I had no idea what it was.
Yeah. That's not a good look. Not a good look by any means, which does make me wonder. Like, you did see them over there filming that, right?
Yeah, and Mike Vrabel was not happy.
Why would he be? Yeah. They just gave this up.
Yeah.
Like, oh my goodness. All right. T-Mill just said pink cocaine is like a Jeffrey.
which I always forget what movie that's from, but I do remember the reference. And from the 713, Real Molly would be MDMA or ecstasy. That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
That is
all correct. Mixed in one. Yeah.
Just ask Reggie.
Right. Okay. Expert, I'm drug expert, right?
You don't even know how funny that is, because I couldn't. I'm not anything, but I just be reading.
I don't understand how people sniff anything up their nose, man. Mm-hmm. I had trouble with like medicine, the medicine that kind of, I guess you
yes.
Like, I'd be struggling with that.
My wife,
like,
will how tell can you, y'all? My family will tell cocaine? You. I am so I'm so you know discreet. About the medicines even I take that are prescribed. I'm like, I don't want to take a lot. I don't want to get hooked. I don't want to do this. Yeah. This guy is just batching together some pink cocaine with who knows what.
He was smooth with it too, man. He looked like a pimp outside on the corner.
Shout out to our guy Larry and Stafford, who on Twitter was like, hey, man, he should ask Odell about getting on them boats. And apparently boats are a problem.
Yeah.
Apparently getting on boats are a problem. Either you're going to lose a playoff game or you're going to get out here making it tough for everybody. In the New England Patriots organization, this is going to be a very interesting first test for Mike Vrabel. Like, how much of the Bill Belichick are you trying to be? Like, how much of an ornery you know what are you trying to be about this? Because he could really make this tough on Steph.
Yeah,
but at the same time, I imagine you don't just want you don't just want Mac Hollins and Kyle Williams and then upside down question mark running routes for you. I imagine you want this Stephon Diggs to do a little bit of something for you.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, 936. If we're going to get very serious about this. People that vape are taking the same risk because what's in all of that? Yes, I understand.
I don't disagree.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Nah, that's somewhat true, man. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't know what's in that type of stuff.
Did we turn into like a daytime PSA? Is that what we did?
Well, is this
funded by the DARE program?
My confession. I mean, it never ceases. Why do you do this?
Me personally,
smoke a little weed. It's from the earth. Who cares?
Hey, man. I'm all right, Smokey. I'm a little B, man. I ain't trying.
I don't smoke weed. You know that. Yeah. But I'm saying, something grown.
Look, I like to control myself. I feel like if I take that stuff, I won't have control of myself.
Right.
Me personally.
Right.
I ain't saying y'all don't have control of yourselves, but. Me personally, man.
This is the worst special program. Like, this is the worst a very special episode.
Don't do
ever.
Drugs. Just smoke weed.
Hey, yeah. Y'all can do what y'all want to do.
Oh, my God. Very special episode. All right. Let's get to my confession here. Y'all got to have some shame. Like, we have to bring back shame. That is I very strongly feel that we have to bring back shame, because I was scrolling Twitter this morning, or X as some people choose to call it, and I saw this. I saw that. Are you guys familiar with the actress Sydney Sweeney?
Of course.
Would you be able to describe her to me?
Hot.
Okay.
I was gonna say her parts. She is known for her parts in specific show.
Yeah. Oh, her parts as in like how she likes using auto parts to, you know. She's big into restoring cars.
She's the template for Brittany Mahomes.
Okay. He brought this back to Brittany Mahomes.
Yeah.
She has large mammary glands, which you're getting to. Okay, very good. No, but really, she ends up being kind of like a modern sex symbol, a symbol out there. And apparently she is partnered with Dr. Squatch. Dr. Squatch, like the soap company or whatever.
Okay.
To create her bathwater bliss. 5,000 bars of soap that come with a certificate saying they come from the water that she was bathed in.
Well, I really want to say it. All her water is bliss. All her bath water
see,
is bliss.
See, that's the problem. This is the shame that I'm talking about. Yeah. This is it. Thank you for displaying.
Yeah.
Have some shame.
And see, I agree with you, Reggie. I think it should be some shame. But when you got people like Lopez, she about to be a billionaire.
You're
now
the reason
for people
that this
like
is
you.
Here.
I didn't say I was going to buy her. I was just making a comment. Yes. It's just commentary.
All the people like Lopez is why she's doing this. That's exactly why she's doing this.
I'm kidding.
The idea that this is like, there's an official company like, yeah, this is how we do it. I'm like, guys, we have lost the effect of shame in our society. This is a watershed moment, guys. Yeah. We need more shame. We need to bring, like, I understand shame could be, you know, really, it could bring people down. It could be weighty. But you know what? It keeps people, at least at some point, it kept people from doing this. It did. And I feel bad being this person, but I feel like I need to be the proponent of shame. We need to bring it back.
I think Figgy was just siding with you, but not necessarily in that same boat.
I'm in the same boat as Reggie, man.
I see you, T-Mill. You out here getting two bars. I know it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Speaking of shame, I thought Reggie was going to take my confession the way he started it, and I'm probably going to start the same way he started his last confession. I think we need to bring shame back.
That's right.
Because I was scrolling on X, as some people like to say. I still say Twitter. But I ran across a post, and let me be clear. This is my girl. I like this artist. Mm-hmm. It's an artist by the name of Erica Banks, who's originally from Dallas. But she be in Houston a lot. She be traveling a lot, Houston and Atlanta and all that stuff, rapper. And she announced she's having a strip tour.
A strip tour?
A strip tour with private dances starting at $1,000.
Yikes.
So I'm guessing from what it looked like on the flyer, it looked like she might be going to strip clubs to maybe perform some music, I don't know, but dance. And the dances are starting off at $1,000. Look, I like her a lot.
No, thank you.
But I'm not paying $1,000 for a dry dance.
A dry dance?
Dry is wild. What is happening?
No, let's dry be real. Dance. Let's be real. Like, are you? are you paying $1,000 just for a lap dance?
No.
Of course not. The first thing, it's funny, I looked at the comments and what people were saying. First thing people are saying, nah, I can have a better time with that for like $200. Like, why am I paying $1,000 to dance? Pretty much.
Yeah.
But like, why are you paying $1,000 to dance? Like, I don't know about that. I'd rather take that $1,000, go to another strip club and just have a good time.
You're darn right. Drinks, absolutely.
Maybe eat some wings. You know, strip club got good wings.
Oh, yeah.
I could do all that for $1,000. I don't know about $1,000 for a dance.
He said,
man,
let me get $1,000 and go to my local strip club and become a legend. They will raise my jersey to the Raptors.
Jersey up there with James Harden. I don't know about that, man. $1,000, I'm going to be looking like the little creeping players club.
That's crazy.
Were you trying to follow Diamond home?
Yeah. Now you did say that $1,000 is too much, which does raise the question, how much is not too much for you there, Fig?
Yeah.
What is the number?
Not too much.
Give us a number.
You said 200, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm not really. 200. No, I ain't say 200 for that. I think it depends who it
is. Give us a number.
Yeah.
So let's say back in the day it was, remember back in the day, Cardi B used to dance in the clubs and stuff like that.
Right.
And I know some people who she actually danced with.
Mm-hmm.
For her, I would probably pay, like, at max, and this is Cardi B. Everybody know who Cardi B get.
Mm-hmm.
I would pay probably, like, I'll pay 100.
100?
Yeah.
Does that come with the pink cocaine?
All right.
I'm cool on that. It probably do come with the pink cocaine if her dude is sponsoring it.
Yeah.
$1,000, man.
$1,000 is a lot.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Yeah.
Somebody said I got 25. All right, so I do want to be careful though, because I would put
Are
up.
Are we a, pitching in?
I do.
Are
put we, up, and I feel like that is some real we need shame here, because if you and your homeboys putting it together in order to get the dance, I feel like that's a little problematic here. Yeah. But I do want to acknowledge though, we're talking about some athletes out here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we not just talking, like, there are some very athletic shows being put on.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like you gotta make sure to pay market rate for it. But I don't know if $1,000.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Remember, she is a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how she is as far as dancing on the pole and private dancing and stuff like that. So I just don't know about $1,000. And that's respectfully. That's with anybody,
that's,
man.
Respectfully.
Yeah, that's respectfully.
Somebody said, wasn't she robbing fools? Yes, by charging $1,000.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Yes.
That's part of it.
I don't know, man. Like I said, I'm cool with her and all that stuff. I don't know about that one, man.
All right. I regret this whole segment going the way that it did.
Somebody said, are y'all going to talk to fourth graders?
T-Mill is out here saying, I wish Sydney Sweeney was going on one of these tours. Is there a spray bottle around here? I need to go.
Yeah.
What is happening, T-Mill?
I need you to. I wonder how much T-Mill would pay for that private dance.
I will find out here shortly. I'm certain of it. In what I can only describe as the most explicit lunchtime confession in my particular tenure here. Somebody said, wear the camera glasses. Nah, they will throw you out of there like Jazz on the Fresh Prince.
Oh, 100%.
They will hoist you by your petard and chuck you out into the parking lot.
Yep.
Into traffic on Richmond. You better be careful. All right. those are the lunchtime confessions. I probably reluctantly presented by the men's clinic here in the loop right here on Sports Radio 6. I appreciate you hanging out with us despite all that other stuff. This is why I say we need to bring back shame. All right. Coming up next, never shame necessary with this segment. Let's do a little buy or sell on a Thursday. Are you buying what these various people in sports are selling? 713-572-4610. Play along. We'll talk about it next.
All right. Thursday, man. Thursday, every Thursday, buying or selling. And certainly, there's a lot to cover this week with Figgy. By the way, mini confession after confessions?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just me or does... Did Tyler Miller know a whole lot about that?
He knew
segment?
A lot, yeah. He knew a lot about all that.
A lot about that entire...
Yeah, big fan of Sydney, too.
That's what I'm saying. The pink cocaine, the Molly, the Sydney Sweeney.
I'm surprised he knew about the pink cocaine.
I'm not. Is that a surprise itself?
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't know. I thought it was something that was kind of a little more recent.
Yeah.
Like, I ain't think
I'd never heard
of
it. I had to Google it.
Yeah.
But T-Mill, man. Coming
I heard
through.
Of it, but T-Mill I thought.
Coming through for us again.
I thought it was like a drug that was kind of a little more recent, like a few years recent.
I thought it was unique to that situation. I thought they just put like some pink dye in cocaine. That's how naive I am.
Yeah. By the way, mm-hmm. there are cups over there. I went ahead and got mine done early. All right, let's go ahead and do a little buy or sell now on this Thursday. Are you buying what these various folks in sports are selling you? 713-572-4610.
All right, let's start with D'Amico Ryans. By the way, not a whole lot coming out. Close practice today over with the Texans and OTAs. But you buying this or you selling this? It's not about managing guys who are not here. It's voluntary.
I'm buying it. I mean, the tough part about it is it's not about managing guys that's not here. That ends up being a little tough. But I think D'Amico Ryans, as his ethos as a head coach is, we're all men here.
Mm-hmm.
You handle your business. I'll handle my business. This all goes well. And I think that he operates within a level of you guys, you have to be responsible for yourself. And so during voluntary things, if you're here, we're going to get in work. And if you're not, when you get here, you better be ready to handle your business. And I think that that's the ethos that he's coming with to there. And I think that that's a way that is a respectful one. And with a coach of his magnitude that seems to operate where the guys actually follow that,
mm-hmm.
I'm good with that. It only becomes a problem if you have guys that are not mature enough to handle it. And if they're going to take advantage of that, and I don't think that's the way this team is built right now.
Yeah, I'm buying it too. I feel like I think these coaches are at a point where they kind of figure the people that's not going to be there and all that stuff. So I hate to say it is what it is, but I think that's
no, you don't.
That's kind of where
loves to say.
I feel like that's where he's staying a little bit. Like they can't just focus on people that's not here. Whoever's here, let's just work with that.
Yeah. I'm buying it, but I do think we need to bring some context to it. He was asked about C.J. Stroud and answered, it's not about the guys that aren't here.
That's true.
There's a little context you have to put in the background there.
And in that instance, it gets a little dicier because
it seemed like he's protecting his players if that's the case.
He's
definitely a player's coach.
Yeah, he's definitely going to do that.
From the 8-2, just bought a pallet of Sydney Sweeney bathwater soap America.
A pallet. Pallet.
And the worst part about it is all them bars are not good enough to get you clean. They're not.
You're going to be smelling like her.
Yeah, well, we won't go there again. Are you buying or selling this? We didn't really talk about this week, but there was a big WNBA, I guess, controversy.
Was there another controversy?
About they had to investigate racist behavior.
Oh, yes. No, I knew about that. And that was in the similar kind of situation after, the Angel Reese, the foul heard around the W.
Was that in the same game?
Yeah. I don't know if it was specifically in the same game. I think it began in that time.
Because where, I seen it around that same time.
Yeah. Where obviously after that, there was a lot of, or at least allegedly, there was a lot of kind of racist or racially inspired kind of negativity hurled at Angel Reese.
And we know the real world. There's, you know, there's going to be stuff. But the WNBA said, are you buying or selling? There was no evidence of racist behavior at the Fever versus Fire game.
I personally am selling it. However, I'm buying it to the point of, is it to the level that is actionable? I think that that is probably the quiet part that is within that statement is there something here that we can, that we view is actionable with whatever may have happened? And I can easily see to the point where that that gets a little dicey to, but I don't think that I'm going to get to a place where I'm like, yo, there's no way that there was, there wasn't some racist things happening. Not saying that inherently, like, I mean, there racist things happens every day, B, right? But especially when we get to something like this, that I think we can and probably should acknowledge the, you know, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese thing, even if not on the internal portion from them, there are aspects of the way that this is viewed that very much come through a racial lens. And I think that there are, maybe you say, the worst actors on the perimeter of this that are coming from that perspective. And those do, they filter in the morass with all the other people that are maybe talking about basketball or talking about legacy or talking about the development of the WNBA. Yeah. There are some people that are out here just talking about race.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy their statement a little bit, because I feel like in general it's just hard to try to discover, kind of find racism or what's racism and all that stuff. I think it's a little tough to like find somebody unless they said something very, very, very nasty.
Yeah,
I think maybe it wasn't enough there to actually put somebody in trouble.
Right
there, so maybe it wasn't enough to punish somebody for it.
I'm selling it, but I think Reggie put it best, you know, and to your point, like, it wasn't on film, there wasn't any audio. But have you been to any game? Forget the WNBA. Have you been to any major college football or NFL game, or maybe even some cases, you know, levels below that? You hear things, you know, you hear things. So just in a general sense, selling, but as you said.
But it's hard when you hear stuff and then you report it. And then you got to prove that without anything on camera and stuff like that. So how can you punish somebody if there is no...
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. You buying or you selling this? Caleb Williams. There was a book written.
Yes, there was.
In which Caleb Williams reportedly said that he did not, and they were going to great lengths, including, I think, going to Canada, right?
Yeah, with him and his father to possibly avoid the Chicago Bears as a landing spot for him in the draft last year.
So he was asked about it yesterday. Their OTAs are going on as well.
And that's right. And first opportunity to get him in front of a microphone behind it.
Yes, it was. And he was asked about it, and this is what he said. Quote, they were thoughts. They were all ideas. But he said they weren't true. They were thoughts. They were all ideas in terms of not wanting to go to Chicago.
I'd sell this. Like, I think that
it was in there.
I mean, that's the whole thing.
About not going?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, like that's what we're talking about here. I actually, and I don't feel like he has to have shame behind this. The tough part about it that you have to try and the line that you have to straddle here is these are the people that are now in a way paying your salary. These are the people that now are fawning over you and who you are, right? But I think that ultimately, I would not have blamed him looking at the Chicago organization on not necessarily wanting to go there. And he ultimately got to a place where he's like, no, I mean, this is not something that I don't feel that I could completely push back against, or I've gotten myself comfortable to the idea of we can make this work in this circumstance, which all was detailed within the book in the conversations therein.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that he was unfair with this. I think the people that might view him as being unfair with this are the people that look at players particularly that try and leverage whatever power that is at their disposal to make something happen that they want away from the trend or the norm. A la Eli Manning, a la what's my guy, Drew Brees or what have you, like, maybe they view it that way. But I think that he was well within his rights to see, like, what is the best place for me, or what are the places that will not be beneficial for me? How can I get away from that?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he just did the calculus of, I'm comfortable enough or I can't, and this will work. Because one thing that we've seen very much is a quarterback go to a place that is not suited to help him, and that ruined his career.
Yeah, I'm buying it, too. I feel like
selling it, you mean.
Or selling that he was thinking about going somewhere else, or?
You know, he said that it wasn't true, but then he said, they were thoughts. They were all ideas about not wanting to go to Chicago.
Okay, I do think he was kind of thinking about that.
Yeah,
because we all know he was going to be the number one overall pick for probably like 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and we also heard some rumors about him wanting a piece of the franchise. It was a lot of weird type stuff. And I don't know if it was true or not, mm-hmm. but a lot of weird type stuff where it seemed like he was trying to do some innovative type stuff that mm-hmm. never been done before.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he was weighing his options, even maybe pulling an Eli Manning or mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah, they were definitely trying to flex their muscle. Because I remember at one point, and again, I don't know how much we can take, kind of reports and make them to be absolute per se.
Yeah.
But there was at one point where there was a reporting that him and his father were trying to see if they could get equity.
Yes.
In
yes.
Was
that's what I was talking. Yeah, that's why I was like, man, like, no, I know Eli Manning name came across their minds at some point trying to.
Of course.
Yeah, because we knew he was going to be the number one pick. Mm-hmm. People was tanking for Caleb.
I mean, at that point, in that moment, I don't blame you for being like, hey, I'm the dude that y'all all want. What can I make shake from this type of leverage? Yeah. I can't blame you for that being that place.
All right, I'm selling it too. Are you buying or selling this? Kevin Stefanski, he's talking about Kenny Pickett yesterday. I'm really excited about what Kenny brings to the team, is what he said. And there is reports that Pickett might have the inside track to becoming the starter.
Wait, say that one more time for me.
I'm really excited about what Kenny brings to the team, is what Kevin Stefanski said. And this was, in terms of Pickett having the inside track to becoming the starting quarterback.
What, does he mean like donuts? is he bringing in sandwiches for lunch?
Well, hey. I'm asking if you're buying or selling. I think I'm getting a good hint here.
The tough part about it is you actually look at what Kevin Stefanski has, and I'm like, hey, how much do you have to be particularly excited about? But I'm selling that. Like, Kenny Pickett has been a particularly fraught player, at least in my mind, even coming out of Pittsburgh, like the college Pittsburgh, before he gets to the Steelers mm-hmm. and before he ends up with the Eagles. I don't necessarily love him as a player, and I can't imagine that, like, a offensively minded coach who has like a system that he really is fond of looks at Kenny Pickett like, yo, that's the thing that gets me going here. Like even looking at, to be fair, right, the limitations that there are on Dylan Gabriel, who's a man there. Mm-hmm. I get that. The limitations that there are on Joe Flacco at this point in his career. I get that. And even the limitations that there are on Shedeur Sanders, who is a young player who has some things, but there's definitely some mm-hmm. weak spots within his game. It's part of the reason why he slid. I still don't believe that's the end-all, be-all, but we don't have to dredge that back up. All of those guys, I think, provide you with something that I feel to be more interesting than mm-hmm. what Kenny Pickett brings you as a quarterback. So, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not really leaning all that much into that.
Yeah, I'm selling it, but I also understand why he's saying this, because they got to get rid of somebody. They can't go into camp with five quarterbacks or really four, not including Deshaun Watson. So I think Kenny Pickett, I think he might be the trade target. He might be somewhere. He might
that's
end up
point.
Going somewhere. So I think he got to big these guys
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, unless somebody want to trade for Joe Flacco,
I think
Kenny Pickett is probably the one that they probably going to trade.
That's a really good point. I was going to sell it anyway.
I was thinking New Orleans, too. It could be New Orleans because Kellen Moore coached them.
Yeah,
New Orleans would be like, hey, would you like another one of these things that we have? Like Jake Haener, Spencer Rattler.
Yeah.
Do we want to?
That's a tough. That's
why
a tough
not
group.
A Kenny Pickett? Throw another one of those
in
there.
Hey, that's a tough group right there, man.
That is tough.
And 713 says they're buying it because Kenny Pickett will start until Sanders is ready. My thing about it is he might start until Shedeur is ready. I still don't even know that means that he's excited about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I actually thought about that, too. I wonder if Flacco might be the odd man out on this one.
Oh, I don't know. That's a good point. Are you buying or selling this real quick? One more for you. Ravens tight end Mark Andrews. We know what happened in his final game.
Were he sold in that final game?
He dropped a potential game-tying two-point conversion. He dropped a pass that was on the previous
fourth down
conversion potentially. Spoke for the first time yesterday. He said that all that was part of the story, but he's moved past it.
That's tough because he has enough of a career at this point mm-hmm. that you can look at the mountains of good and still say, yeah, no, that is something that you can return to. At the same part, I feel like whenever a season ends, particularly on largely your terms,
mm-hmm.
all you have all summer is to think about that. So I sell that. However, I understand where he's coming from in saying that, and I do believe that he'll be able to find some level of success on the backside of it.
I'm buying the part of him saying it's part of the story. I'm selling that he moved past it. I don't know if he moved past that.
I am selling every bit of this. Good luck. I hope he does well. I like Mark Andrews and all that. But you can ask him in 40 years, because it happens to players all the time. They never move past something like that, ever.
Kicks rocks on the YouTube. Ask Clint if you ever get over something like that.
Well, that's a good example. Yeah. No, you know what? Yeah. No,
we can't even bring that up around
that,
Clint.
That might be a pot shot, but
it is. I mean,
but that's illustrating my point.
No,
players
for sure.
Never, ever, ever move past them.
Who would you rather start for a season or your team, Kenny Pickett or Davis Mills? Ooh, that is. I think I'd probably go Davis Mills.
I think I would.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, Will Anderson Jr. talked yesterday about what he needs to do and what he is doing in order to be, you know, take his next step in development. Let's talk about that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.